gloss. And God is looking for more than that, not just a glaze of Christianity, a glaze of faith across our lives. Next one, please, Jeff. The Christian faith and the global church, which of course is vast, has 2,000 years of history and testimony. And as you look at that, you'll see times when there was an ascendancy in certain parts of the world, for instance, Turkey and Ephesus, and then a great decline. Well, you will see a great ascendancy in Britain and the UK, and rapid decline. When you will see Africa going through various phases, particularly North Africa and the movements there, and its ascendancy and so on. You will see 2,000 years of history and a testimony which speak about the roots of Christianity. Thanks, Jeff. And Christianity, the church, I would rather talk about in some ways than Christianity, but the church is like a great tree which goes down very deep back to the starting point, not just in Jesus Christ when he was upon the earth, because Jesus existed before time, but the roots go right back to Jesus Christ, the beginning of time, and even beyond that. And indeed, the church, Christianity, is even deeper than these roots, because those roots actually are in the very heart of God, this new life, this deliverance. And we need to remember that we are people who have a long, long history. That's the story, the testimony of God's people. Thanks, Jeff. And that will give us a greater stability if we realise we are not just a people of the moment. We are a people who have grown through time and will continue to grow. That there are deep roots. And we need to know something about the journey Christian people have taken. And in fact, the things that we can learn, not just from the Bible, but through books of history and other articles, will tell us the story of wilderness, the story of valley, the story of plenty, the story of difficulty. But they will tell the story of God and his people. So we do need to be a people that know what our history is, and that will give us a greater stability. And of course, some people have really very little knowledge of the history, that they're part of something so much bigger. Our roots are in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he has held on to us. He will not let us go. And we need understanding. We need what Jeff sometimes calls corporate memory, what I call body memory. The church needs to remember, and even a church like this has over 140 years of stories to tell. That's why I talked to you about Agneta, who was converted through the work of this church and has grown through faith, being widowed through the murder of her husband, raising her children, loving the Lord, going on to being ordained. These are stories we need to know, all right? We have history, and that helps to give us stability. That is part of our roots. If you talk to somebody like Jane, who's been in Egypt, the history of the Coptic church in Egypt will tell you a story of really hanging on, but great holiness, but great difficulty. But they have a story of today that's coming alive. So you can go to different parts and hear that story, all right? So I want us to remember that. Thanks, Jeff. The memory that we need of God's people. And again, please, thank you. You'll know, if you have any sort of biology, basically the simple fact that to support a tree of this height, you need a root system that goes at least as deep as that. All right? And we need stability, and therefore we need deep roots to know what our roots are. Thank you. But faith in God is not just based on past experience, important as that is. I was reading just last week Dr. Michael Nazir Ali, very interesting, who said he tends not to pray for revival. He prays constantly for a new work of God's Holy Spirit. But he thinks often people praying for revival are trying to bring the past back. And what we need is a contemporary experience of God. So we pray for renewal and we pray for refreshment, but we pray not for just the old things to be restored, because God is doing a new thing. Behold, I make all things new. It is the same Holy Spirit. It is the same God that will be glorified. But be careful when you pray for revival that you're not just praying nostalgically for what once existed. You're praying for a new work of the Holy Spirit now. And faith in God is not just based on past experience, thank you. It is based on a clear and present experience of God now. And a merely superficial experience of God, where there is little substance and no real depth, will not be enough to hold us to God. And it will not be enough to convince others of the truth of our testimony. Thanks. And again, please. And again. Times is hard for the people of faith in many parts of the world. And God is looking for us to bear fruit, to have roots deep enough that we bear fruit. And that fruit is to go and make disciples, as well as fruit of Christian character. And we need to major on both. Our characters do need to change because it will affect our fruit bearing. But God is looking for us to go and make disciples, more disciples for Jesus Christ. Okay, so your file of facts, your diary, whatever you keep, you should be able to write, even today, what God is doing in your life, even tomorrow, not just in the past, but it's a clear and present experience. Thanks, Jeff. Plants need depth of root to survive and thrive. That is what that parable of the sower is all about. And a plant without depth of root will not survive. It will not go on to bear fruit. In the parable of the sower, Jesus illustrates that plants with deep roots do bear fruit and reproduce themselves. Plants with shallow or no roots do not persist. They're ephemeral. Here today, gone tomorrow. Thanks very much. Thank you. Thank you. And again, thank you. People are like plants. They must strive for depth in our lives with God. Some people hear the message of Jesus, but they don't really understand, and it's snatched away. Sometimes people hear God's word and immediately they are keen and enthusiastic. They pick it up. But the soil really isn't very deep inside them. The message doesn't go deep. It doesn't bring about any change. They don't last long as followers of Jesus. Trouble of any sort wipes them out because there's no depth of root. Any opposition, anybody speaking against them as Christians or making fun of them as Christians, and they disappear because their roots were not really deep in God. Now, people who are superficial like that can become deeper people, but unless they do something about it and others really help them, they are unlikely to last for very long. And we've all seen examples of that. And this other one is seen all around us. Other people are so overwhelmed by worry, not just worry, which we all have, but by gaining riches, that these things dominate their lives. They throttle any sort of spiritual growth. And this, I believe, is the most dangerous issue for the church, certainly in the UK and in the West. Not just anxiety. I think there's plenty of anxiety around, and we all have that. And we take our anxieties to God, we share it with others and so on. But this pursuit of riches has overtaken the church in the West. And so there is little fruit. The believers in God have only shallow roots, and they're not able to gain strength enough to thrive. They don't really know the great truths of God. They talk about the wisdom of God, but they really don't know what the gospel of Christ says. They don't know what the Sermon on the Mount says, chapters 5 to 7 of Matthew. They don't let it affect their lives, and I mean we in that. The challenge is there. We pursue riches in the sense that God takes second place. And these people will often not get too involved with God's people because they're so absorbed with their own concerns and anxieties and striving in the workplace. And they justify it on the grounds of caring for their families and providing the best for them. But actually, it's a much deeper problem. The roots are not down deep enough. And Jesus speaks about this. And I think we all wrestle with this. I constantly wrestle with this, even now. We're told by Jesus through this parable that we need to strive for depth in our lives. Depth with God for ourselves, and encourage our brothers and sisters to seek for depth. Now, God may well bless us in many, many ways, and we can use that wealth. I'm not knocking wealth. I want to be a part of a nation which lives in justice in the world, and produces wealth. I do not want people in poverty through either injustice or their own lifestyle choices. I want fairness. But I do believe we need to put our roots into God and his values. To put our roots into God, into Jesus Christ, to feed upon him is so important. We can indeed become, we are told, like trees by the river of life, and that we will thrive if we have depth in our life. This is the challenge. As the psalmist says in Psalm 1, those who find their joy in obeying God, studying and discovering from God's word day and night, are like trees, not one tree, trees planted by streams of water. Next one, please. Jesus also teaches in another place, a tree's fruit tells us its true nature. Listen to this from Matthew 12. To have good fruit, you must have a healthy tree. If you have a poor tree, you will have bad fruit. A tree is known by the kind of fruit it bears. Snakes, how can you say good things when you are evil? The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good person brings good things out of a treasure of good things. A bad person brings bad things out of a treasure of bad things. You can be sure that on Judgment Day, everyone will have to give account of our useless words, of every useless word he has ever spoken. That means the Christians as well will give account. Your words will be used to judge you, to declare you either innocent or guilty. And we will be saved through the blood of Christ, but we will have to give account. Next, please. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What comes out of your mouth? What do you hear out of the mouth of other Christians? Next, please. Those who are superficially rooted into sludge and toxic water, what will come out of their lives? Nasty, poisonous things, toxic things that don't bring life. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And if a person is rooted in God, increasingly their words will be more of peace, making peace, stopping arguments, and so on. They will, if we are rooted in God. And I speak as a person who knows that we have to commit our mouths and our tongue to God to change. When a person is superficially rooted in God, then much of what comes out of their mouth will be toxic. It will not be helpful. Their words will not be honouring to God or helpful to humanity. And the statements they long for others to believe will appear a contradiction. We need to put our roots into the heart of God, which speaks the truth, but is not unkind and vicious and poisonous. Next, please. What we take into our lives will work its way through. What we do with our lives will work its way through. So that is quite important, how you spend your time and how I spend my time. We put our roots down. Just want to read this to you. Sorry, can we see the next slide? That's a sort of unhealthy plant taking up all the sludge. Next one, please. We need to follow the example of Jesus if we want to be true children of God. How can we put our roots down deep? Quite simply, we look at what Jesus did. And I read just one scripture to you. Next, please, Jeff. This is what it says about Jesus. And you know this. But the news about Jesus spread all the more widely, and crowds of people came to hear him. They wanted to hear his words, right? They valued the words of somebody that was close to God and be healed from their diseases. But he would go away to lonely places. He would go away to the wilderness where he prayed. And the wilderness in the New Testament and in the Old Testament as well is not just desert plates. Sometimes it was desert places, particularly in the summer. The superficial vegetation died down, but really it was lonely places. It was places where they would take their animals to graze, not particularly habitable, but somewhere where there was solitude and quiet. And it was a custom of Jesus to go away when the demands were phenomenal and spend time praying and listening to God. And if we want to have anything to offer the people, especially when we are harassed, and we know many of us are in situations when we're harassed, either in our paid work or our volunteer work, we are harassed. Katerina, do you get harassed at work in your cafe? Harassed. Right, do people keep going at you, saying things, fellow staff members and the customers come with complaints and difficulties and I want this and I need that? Okay, so sometimes you can be harassed, you can have all those difficulties. Sometimes you can be doing food bank or street pastors, you can be harassed. Sometimes you can be a pastor, you can be harassed. Sometimes your family harasses you and you wish they just go away sometimes. But Jesus went and put his roots deep down into God. And we need to follow the example of Jesus if we want to be true children of God. Thank you, Jeff. Jesus' depth of relationship with God was something to be copied. Now, in his humanity, he was a relatively young man. He lived with people who pressurized him. He faced opposition and he faced great temptation to short-circuit God's way. How did he deal with that? He would go and spend time with the Father. This is how we put down roots, much, much deeper. And that's what we need to do, to spend time in the wilderness, the lonely place, to spend time also with other people praying and studying God's word, not just trying to do it on our own. We go far too much on our own, I believe, often as Christians. Next, please. Thank you. And again. Jesus puts his roots deeper into God. He often went to the wilderness, as we've said, and he maintained a stability. You can't say he wasn't under pressure. You can't say there weren't times when he wept and he was tempted to despair. But he moved with purpose. Do you see this about him? Even though his life had very little sameness, he didn't stay in the same place every night. In fact, he was rather like a modern, hectic businessman or woman. He had so much to do. But he didn't just maintain stability, he had purpose. Hence the compass point. He knew where he was going. Thank you. We live in a world which seems obsessed with quick success to me. Superficial, synthetic experience. We're told that this year that more will be spent on children's Christmases in the UK than ever. Even though we are on the edge of a possible another recession. Why? Parents seem to have to prove to their children that they love them because they feel so many other things. But it seems madness. madness. We must have this experience. We must possess this. We must have this. We've become so acquisitive. Quick success. People want to succeed. What I'm worried about is the depth of Christian discipleship today. Is it deep enough to cope with this? Maybe Christian leaders are saying this the world over, I don't know, but I'm saying it in the UK. How deep is our discipleship? Thank you. Can we tell who the Christians are? It seems to me that very often we can't. It's not because I want Christians to go around looking drab and dreary in the way that they dress. I certainly don't want that. But can we tell who the Christians are, particularly in their speech? Sometimes our speech is not distinctive. We don't speak out against injustice. We sound like all the others. I must have this. This is what I'm doing at Christmas. Let's tell people what we're doing at Christmas is we're coming to praise God for the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. And we're going to have a simpler Christmas. And we're going to give some of our money, perhaps to projects where they really need it. And we're going to invite others into our home that some people, you know, they're not family, but they are our family. They're in God or they're our neighbour. What are we going to do? Are we distinctive? Sometimes we sound like all the others about our desires, our anxieties. Now, we share many things that the world has. But if our roots are deeper in God, then surely we will sound differently and our speech will sound differently. Not just that we sing carols. That's great. We're going to have a record breaker on that. But next, please. Can we tell who the Christians are? What drives us? I don't mean in the sense that drives us in the sense that we're a driven people, but what gives us purpose and energy? Are we encouraging one another to seek out God through prayer with others? Are we putting our roots down deeper? A few weeks ago, we had Sister Judith, and I was delighted that we had our biggest attending meeting after a Sunday service because people did want to talk about going deeper with Jesus. And I hope that's in our hearts. Thanks. Where are your roots? Are they going into Jesus? Are they going down rather than just to the side? Thank you. Are we encouraging one another? Thank you. This is important. We're not just on our own. We're all seeking to put down our roots together, to have a stability together. I think there's importance in that, doing that together. It gives us a greater stability. So lastly, last slide, please. Following Jesus, stability without being too settled. I'm telling you to put your roots down. Am I telling you just to get highly settled? I don't think so. I think if we're following Jesus in rather like walking trees, if ever you've seen any of those great films, or even the Wonking Willow in that the trees move and that they and we're to have our roots down, but not to be too settled. We're often in danger from following Jesus. Pauline led us in prayer about it, and others recognise this. On the streets, perhaps if we're street pastors, or in other situations, we do face danger. Paul said on his many travels he was in danger from flood, from robbers, from all kinds of people, his own people and foreigners. He said he'd been in danger in cities, in the wilderness, on the high seas, and in danger from false friends. He experienced many things, but they didn't stop him from carrying out his life's purpose, which was to go and make disciples. That is my life's purpose. We sang that in that tremendous hymn, didn't we? That is our role in life, to say, look to Jesus. Behold Jesus. Thank you. Christianity is too often offered only as a religion of spirituality and personal comfort. Come to Jesus and you'll feel better about yourself. I don't read that in the Bible. I read that we have come to have fullness of life that nobody will experience out of Christ. But I don't really believe that we're come and just to be made comfortable. Jesus calls and invites us to turn away from our sinful, selfish living, even if it's sinful, selfish religion, and to become his loyal friends and servants. And that means uprooting ourselves from this world's satisfactions. That means not putting our roots into this world's values. It means going deeper, deeper life. There's a Nigerian church called that, in an attempt to find deeper life with our roots firmly in God. And that is what will result in strength and sustenance. Thanks, Jeff. Right? Here's a lovely, comfortable sofa. Now, sometimes being a Christian brings tremendous comfort. Those who grieve are comforted. But by and large, uprooted from our place of comfort and selfishness, and we are called to walk in desert place, lonely place, difficult place, together, like those trees, to worship, to walk, to work together, deeply rooted in God. And my challenge today, my message is an exhortation, that together we will encourage one another to do that through prayer, through studying God's word day and night, through seeking God, that we will go deeper. Then I believe not only will we be deeply satisfied like trees planted by the water, but also many people will want to come and nest in those trees. Many people will want to come and find faith. Many people will seek Jesus out. That is my belief. And the question is, how deep is our discipleship today? Let's not have mile wide, millimetre deep. Let's be like people with roots deep down. And what we're going to do by way of response, Pete and I have worked out, he's found a really lovely song which talks about going into the wilderness, going not just, it's not just a desert place, it's finding water in the wilderness. And the words speak mountains. He's going to teach us this song. We're going to use it as a response, so it's part of the exhortation, if that works. So let's learn and work together with Pete on this. Thank you, Pete.